The following podcast contains adult language and subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
You don't have to be famous to be interesting. You are listening to A Conversation with Albie. This is Episode 6, John G. Weir Jr., Part 3. Conversation with Albie. This is show number 6, and this is part 3 of A Conversation with Johnny G. Weir Jr. If you haven't listened to part 1 and 2, go back and listen to it. You'll enjoy this one a lot better. It's been 4.5 hours so far into our conversation, and there's still a few more hours to go, but this is the final chapter. So put your ear pods on, sit back, relax, and listen to A Conversation with Albie, Johnny G. Weir Jr., part 3. And we are back to our beginning of the end, finalist almost segment of A Conversation with Albie, starring John G. Weir Jr.
We're about 90% there.
90%. So far, the recording of this podcast has been...
brought to you by the letter B.
For Brooklyn Bear.
For Brooklyn. The number 13.
For Friday the
13th. Friday the 13th.
We've recorded this over 5 different nights.
Wow.
Over the course of 6 weeks.
Wow.
Because you did take a trip to Fort Lauderdale to visit your sister last week.
So yeah,
you
that was make nice.
Or was that 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And I think I called off last week.
Last week, right.
Yeah.
We had a situation.
Did I have to SMP?
No, we had an eye problem. We just couldn't see doing it that night.
I couldn't just see doing it that night.
Yeah, no. I think, yeah, you had to, I think I know why. You had too much vodka.
Ah.
You were hungover and had to SMP.
Yes. I do not drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know this. I'm straight edge.
Right.
Pretty much straight edge. I imbibe in the caffeine.
In a good way.
Yes.
Yes.
I drink caffeine beverages, be it energy drinks, coffee, tea. Not a lot of coffee. Mostly tea.
He's of the eating persuasion.
Yes, I do have
people drink too much beer or smoke
eating
too many cigarettes.
Disorder. Yes.
Do whatever habits there is. He ate. I can't believe he ate 39 wings in one night.
I'm a compulsive eater. Give me some examples of my compulsive eating, Johnny.
Oh, yeah, that was one example. We went to Hog Body's, got 50 wings. Ah, how many did you eat? I'm on my 11th. Albie said, 39!
I was sick.
Hit the floor.
I was sick.
Yeah, he was sick, all right. He ate a lot of wings that day.
Yeah.
We go to Subway. Hey there, 2 for $5. You know, get... you get 2 or more footlong, $5 a piece. Well, what are you going to get? He looks at me.
Yeah, I used to eat 2 or 3.
Two whole footlongs at Subway at the minimum. Then we go to McDonald's, you know, and it's buy one, get one for a penny. He buys a Big Mac, gets one for a penny, buys a quarter pounder, gets one for a penny. I'm like, cool, we're going to split quarter pounder Big Mac. And he's like, okay, you can order now.
I'm doing a lot better now, though.
Yeah, at least the bread is whole wheat.
Right. I do still eat great amounts, but try to eat better for me because of my diabetes.
He eats responsibly in great amounts.
Yes, but
rather than irresponsibly in great amounts.
I still eat a large amount of
different
food. I'm a compulsive eater. I have to eat all the time.
And drink.
And drink. I do drink a lot of beverages.
Liquids, not alcohol.
Not alcohol. So, back to our earlier thing. I was, of course, I'm the co-host, the Andy Richter, if you will, on a internet talk show. You can search on iTunes or YouTube or Google for Bedtime with Bruce and something will come up.
Love Bedtime with Bruce.
It's an internet talk show starring my friend Bruce.
Yep.
And is that his real name? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's something you can enjoy while wearing your pajamas.
Right. When you're going to bed and you want to watch a nice little calming talk show that might be a little bit funny or a little bit interesting. There's Bedtime with Bruce.
And it's bedtime, going to bedtime themed.
Yes, we're in pajamas.
Something you can enjoy before you go to sleep.
And what Bruce had started is whatever guest we have on the show gets to pick the beverage. And we had Ty on, and she picked vodka and cranberry, which is usually like Arnold Palmer's or Red Bull. You know, but, you know, I don't drink, but I drank because it's the show. And
right. It was themed that night, so... the theme of the night happened to be vodka, so you went with the theme.
Yes, and as Heather said, I was wasted.
Now, what'd she say after your second drink?
I know I had 5 large glasses of vodka with a splash of cranberry.
Wow.
Me.
That means he had the equivalent of drinking for 10 people.
Yes. It's a good thing I don't drink often because I drink a lot of liquid, so.
First time I've ever heard him say he loved somebody was over the telephone in Orlando after a night of having a energy/alcoholic beverages. I love you.
We're called like juice or something.
Oh, juice.
They're like big energy drinks with liquor.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with that?
Did we know they had liquor in them?
Stay up and drink all night. No, we knew they had liquor in it. And energy, so.
I was just starting a dater, I think.
What a combo.
This was our Britney Spears trip.
Yep. First time you had left her since you dated her.
Right. So, couple months. I hadn't said anything, I don't think. But once I got on the juice, I was calling her from the hotel room, telling her how much I love her. Yep. This is a common theme. Whenever I get really drunk, I love Heather.
Yes. You would think he'd drink all time.
No, I think what it is I love her all the time, but I never admit it.
Right.
Until I'm drunk, I can't help myself.
Well, they say when you drink is when you truly express your feelings.
Well, that's good.
So, and, I remember the first time we had a drink. It was during a showing of The Scorpion King at Bell Tower Theater in Fort Myers.
That was the first movie we went to.
Yes, it was also the first movie we went to. And I had never drank with him because this is probably within the first month we had met, if not sooner than a month. And we were there early to the movies, and next door was a Shoeless Joe's bar that was in the hotel. I guess it was the lounge. And we went in there, and I said, well, what do you want to drink? And Albie suggested, well, whatever you think or whatever you want to drink. You know, not knowing that you don't just go to a bar and order drinks or whatever. So I ordered, I said, well, why don't we get a shot of whiskey and a beer? The lady's like, hey, it's 2 for 1. Gave us 2 shots each and 2 beers each. Holy smokes. Not only was he drinking double more than he would normally, but then she brought him double more. Next thing I remember was Albie, wake up, the movie's over.
I remember sitting down and seeing, like, The Rock, and it said The Scorpion, and that's the last thing I remember.
Scorpion something, and then, yeah.
I think I woke up at one point, and The Rock's CG body was on a spider, maybe, or something, and I went back to sleep, and then you woke me up after it was done.
Yeah, and I remember sitting there going the whole time going, God, I should have brought a 6-pack or something. I was ready to go.
For you at the time, the movies was all about getting something to drink.
I totally
didn't comprehend that because I'm like a popcorn soda,
See, I'm old school. Twizzler kind of guy. We didn't go to movies because they were IMAX, they were 3D, they were state-of-the-art sound effects. We went to the movie theater because we snuck in a bottle of booze. That was our special effect. The more you drank, the better the effects.
Right.
You know? Which started, I think, the first time when I actually saw, which coincidentally is my favorite, Sam Raimi, which I do believe made The Quick and the Dead.
Yes.
Starring also stars of other favorite movies like Leonardo DiCaprio. And a friend of mine and myself went in the movie theater with a bottle of whiskey, and we said, for every time they say whiskey, we're going to do a shot. Yeah, that bottle was half gone in the first 15 minutes. And,
I own the movie on DVD. That's how long ago I bought it.
Uh-huh.
Haven't watched it yet.
Have you ever seen it at all?
No.
Oh, my God.
Do I have to watch that?
Sharon Stone.
I like her.
Gene Hackman.
He's awesome.
Lance Henderson.
Really?
Frank Black himself.
Really? Frank Black from Atlanta.
Ace.
That's awesome.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, I like him from Titanic, yeah.
The Australian guy.
Crocodile Dundee.
Nope. His name's on the end of my tongue. He's an Australian. He's an actor.
Gerard Depardieu.
He did that movie 1492. You know the.
Oh, Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He's in that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's an all-star cast. An all-star.
Like I said, I own it. I just never watched
Sam
it.
Sam Raimi.
Should I put that on my bucket list?
Oh my God! I can't believe you've never seen it.
What if I drink Publix Diet Cherry Cola?
If you want to drink something you've never drank the most of
what?
In one movie, every time they say a word.
Yes.
Play that movie and drink something every time they say whiskey. We didn't know it was a 2.5-hour movie shot in a bar. And what do they do in a bar in the Western days? Nothing but whiskey.
I have a nerd version of that same kind of drinking game when I watch Stargate SG-1, and anytime they say Daniel Jackson.
Oh, God, yeah.
I drink. And they say it about 5 times a minute.
Remember Buffy used to have a drinking game?
What was that?
Every time I think it was every time you saw her bra strap, or was it her cleavage, or had something to do with that?
Something to do with
you had to drink a beer.
Wow.
And it was a game.
I'll have to try that.
I heard of that somewhere.
Love Buffy.
But the best drinking game in the world, whiskey, quick and a dead.
Okay, we'll try it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try it.
We have some listener questions, believe it or not.
Really?
I put a call out on Facebook a couple weeks ago.
Is it going to go live?
No.
Oh.
These are questions that were sent in on Facebook.
That was close.
Jason, I think you know him.
Jason.
Jason, yep. Wilson, uh-huh. From East LA.
Jason Wilson.
Says, do you ever get confused with the Olympic figure skater, Johnny Weir?
As a matter of fact, that is a very good question. Yes, I have. I've also had people give me clippings of Johnny Weir to give to me. Look, this is you! Knowing that it's not me.
Right.
But it reminds me of a story. My favorite cousin in the entire world, which is my father's sister's son, he befriended me on Facebook and was friends with me for over 2 years on Facebook for Johnny Weir until I started getting really weird. And then he realized it wasn't me, it was another Johnny Weir. So it happens. Huh. It just happens that the skater is the most famous
Johnny Weir.
Misunderstanding.
Right. Is he older? You older?
I believe I'm older than any Johnny Weir. As an Olympic skater, I do not believe he is over the age of 43. He's probably like 23 or 33.
Speaking of Olympics, I can't wait for these Olympics to start. I'm sure they're already over by the time this is out, because this is going to take me 6 months to edit.
The Olympics are the next 3 weeks coming up, I believe.
I think so.
It'll be the last 3 months ago.
3 months ago.
By the time you hear it now.
But at this point, I'm looking forward to watching all those female gymnastics.
Yes, I love Japanese gymnastics. They will take the gold.
Every time.
The bronze and the Godzilla statue.
We had a question from our first guest on A Conversation with
Wow.
Abby. Do you know who that is?
Would that be Mary Alice Birch?
That would be Mary Alice Birch, my mother.
Love Mary Alice
Birch. She wants to know, where did you learn to clean so well?
Where did I learn to clean so well? I would say it would have to be from my mother.
Really?
She always kept a perfect house and insisted that I always kept a perfect room. There was a place for everything, and organization makes for a skillful life. I don't know. You know, and I've always kept my room clean. You know, I've always been organized. I always have a place for everything. I have an eye for detail. My sister, Catherine, has even more of an eye for detail than myself. She's
she's
very intense.
Immaculate home.
Yes. I do believe that clean living is happy living, and an organized life is a happy life.
I know if I ever do make it big and have money, I will hire you to clean my house.
Fortunately for me, Mary Alice keeps a very clean house as it is.
Yes.
So it doesn't make my job hard.
Yeah. If you had to clean this house, you would have to charge me double, triple the first month.
She's got a big house, a lot of room, a lot of space. I enjoy cleaning much more after she's had relatives there.
Because there's something to do, right?
More of a challenge, you know. Takes a little longer, but I feel like I'm actually earning my money cleaning.
And we have a series of questions.
Wow.
From TC.
Oh, TC.
From New Jersey.
Tomcat.
She was our science lady
from Terra Nova Podcast.
Exactly. So you know who we're talking about.
Another wonderful website and an awesome show.
Did you listen to the Terra Nova Podcast?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm on it, so.
Yeah, you are on it. You're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You are very helpful in all my projects, and I'd like to take this moment to say thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's not easy. I have to prepare myself, you know, and...
But you always come through. No matter what my project is, you're there to help me. You're a great friend.
Yep.
Okay, and she has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions.
They're
simple, quick, random questions.
Goodness.
So we'll just read them off. Are you ready?
Sure. Yep.
These are from TC. Which storybook / cartoon character turned you on the most?
I would have to say that would be Yogi's girlfriend, Cindy Bear.
Cindy Bear.
Yes.
All right.
Even as a child, I was like, wow, she's pretty cute.
She's cute. Yeah. She doesn't wear a shirt, as I remember.
She wore a skirt and no top.
Yeah. No top. I know, but topless. I was like, whoa.
I didn't know no topless back then.
But you just thought she was cute?
Really cute, yeah.
I'm glad you didn't say Pocahontas.
Wow. At least she's human.
Yeah, right. Okay, question number 2 from TC. Choose a movie title for the story of your life.
A movie title? Story of my life. Burner, burner. Is that a title? No, that's a soundtrack. Never mind. Let me see a title. Oh, boy, I'm going to have to think about this. Good thing we're not recording on a
reel to
cassette
reel.
Tape.
Yeah, we'd have to flip the tape now.
Hold on. Another reel. 25 reels later. Movie title for my life. The Jerk? No.
You're not a jerk.
No,
You're a great
know.
Guy.
I'm going to have to think about that. Can we pass and then...
Pass and go back?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to pass and go back. Question number three. What was your favorite toy as a kid?
My favorite toy as a kid? I would say my favorite toy would probably be my Matchbox cars. I loved them more than any toy of all times. And my favorite one to this day would probably be my 1979 black and gold trim Trans Am.
Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness,
yeah. Smokey and the Bandit 3, Smokey is the Bandit.
Which is funny because I've never got my license or owned a car. But as a child, I loved my cars. They were probably my favoritest toys.
We still collect them every once in a while, don't we?
To this day, yeah. And it was the first toy I can remember getting, and I always had cars.
My last one, I don't know if it was a Matchbox or a Hot Wheels, but it was a DeLorean from Back to the Future. It was just at a grocery store for like $1.19. Mm. Couldn't resist it. Couldn't help myself.
The only thing I regret is not choking on the small parts. Nowadays, cars have no small parts. I remember when the hood opened, you could look at the engine, the doors opened.
Yeah, everything.
I mean, these were
steering
cool
wheel
cars.
In there.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to go back to the previous question, or do you want to still go to the next question and still pass?
Because there's no time limit, right?
No time limit.
So I can think for a minute?
Sure.
All right, let's think for a minute.
Okay, the question we're going back to was, okay, choose a movie title for the story of your life. Remember, this is from TC.
You know, part of me wants to say Forrest Gump, because I'm kind of...
Yeah.
What do you think? Give me
some
ideas.
Oh, what do I think?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What do you think?
The Jerk. No.
Thanks a lot.
No.
Adam's Family?
No. Story of your life.
Midnight Cowboy? No, that's Frankie.
Frankie's life is Midnight Cowboy, but we'll
Taxi
get to him in
driver,
another show.
I'm walking here.
That's
Animal
another
Lecter?
Show. No.
Spinal Tap.
11. It's one more than 10. You want to pass? You want to keep going?
You know what? I almost got something.
Okay.
One time I was like, that was me. And you know what it was? It almost brought a tear to my eye thinking, oh my God, this is exact description of me, my life, and everything. But I think it was just a single scene and then that had to do with an storyline that was in an episode of Cheers. I remember exact. I don't remember the episode, but that's not a movie.
Movie title.
Right. So it would have to be...
I came up with one for you, from my perspective.
Right.
Lars and the Real Girl. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
Great movie.
I know what movie you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
What about Bob?
What about Bob?
His goldfish and stuff?
Yes.
That one, I would say.
What about Bob? Bill Murray's character in that. Very similar.
I would say that one.
Great
Bill
person,
Curry
just has certain things.
Bill Murray's one of my favorite characters.
He's awesome.
Actor,
yeah,
comedian.
He's pretty cool.
All right, well, we'll go with that.
What about Bob?
I would say my movie would be What About Bob?
Okay.
Because Bill Murray is also one of my favorite actors and comedian along the side of Chevy Chase. I would say I like Bill Murray and Chevy Chase.
Those are great guys.
Yeah, they were real good guys. Yeah, I would say What About Bob? Because I can picture me, you know, I got my goldfish in a bowl and I'm carrying them around everywhere and I name them and... Hence, I probably would if I didn't have my, you know, teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, what about Bob?
What about Bob?
What about Bob?
All right.
That's a good one.
Question number four from TC.
Okay.
What color is your toothbrush?
Color is my toothbrush. Well, my toothbrush is the same color as Publix, like an aquaish greenish. Yeah, because I shop at Publix, and I mostly buy all Publix products. So I bought a Publix toothbrush that matched their color. Because it just, you know, felt odd to buy a red Publix toothbrush.
So Publix green.
A Publix aqua green. Aqua green.
Publix is a grocery store in the southern eastern United States.
Yeah. I've seen them as far as Georgia, Alabama.
Yeah.
I've seen Publix.
Great place to shop.
Yeah. It's where shopping is a pleasure.
It is. Not necessarily working. I worked there for a short time. Didn't like it. Okay, moving on. Question number five from TC. This is the final question from TC, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you answer this one correctly, you will get double the points.
Double points?
How much are you willing to wager?
All of it.
All of it?
Yeah.
We're putting all of it on the line right now?
All of it, yep.
Okay, number five from TC. If you were a porn star, what would you like your name to be?
Oh, King Dong.
Yeah, it's the right answer, so you win.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So I did pretty good. I answered all five of her questions.
Yes.
My toothbrush, my name.
Pretty good. I was worried when you started to pass, but you made all five questions.
The movie I had to think about.
So those were our listener questions.
Those are very interesting questions. I like the one about the cartoon.
Yes, Cindy Bear. Who would have known?
Yeah. And, wow.
Wow. Okay, so that
if only she posed for Playbear magazine.
Playbear magazine. I'm sure Playbear's out there somewhere.
Yep.
Let's see. There's a couple more things I wanted to cover in this short show that we've had so far. If anybody's still listening to this podcast, please send me an email at barrenspace@gmail.com and let me know that you made it this far.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be on our favorites list. Now, you had mentioned you wanted your living will to be public. Your will to be public.
Yes.
It might not necessarily be a legally binding will, but at least people know your final wishes.
I just want to get everything that I have, sort of a sense of direction.
Okay.
And where certain things should belong.
So let's talk about this.
You know, I would say a lot of this would be video documentary to show you in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll have an opportunity to see some of the things that I'm talking about, which would be a lot easier and a lot less time consuming and explain everything. Of course, number one is my bear, which is also my best friend and my companion. And nobody has accepted her and knows her as much and as well as my best friend and his wife, Albie and Heather.
She's part of the family.
I would also like my sister to be a part of her life in any capacity, but she's very unsettled and has yet to found a homestead in which she'll be permanently stayed in. And I know that Albie will permanently be down here, and I feel her to be more comfortable in his possession at this time. Catherine, you can have Sprinkles back today if you want. At any time, you can take Sprinkles back. But I do believe I may outlive her. She's been an experience of a lifetime. We've traveled, we've flown in airplanes, we've driven cross country. She's got a good heart, but, you know, it's not her fault. She's possessed by the devil.
Sprinkles.
Sprinkles.
Yes. Yeah,
not my sister.
Right.
Right. I feel a little like, what do I say next? Because I haven't prepared anything that I wanted to say.
But you got the big ones out of there.
It was more of a visual thing.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Like I wanted to point, like this is this, that's that, this belongs here, that belongs there.
Right.
I haven't written anything down, which I probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought of that now. I should have probably wrote everything down that was most important things. And I'm going to do this. But it'll be a final continuation of a video that will explain all this.
All right. But the main thing is you want Brooke to stay with the Burges.
Right. It's most important.
But have your sister have visitation rights.
Right. Brooke now wears a dog tag chain that had been bought at the Jurassic Park ride, Universal Studios, which is holding coal from the Titanic, which matches the necklace that I also wear. And I would want Brooke to have this necklace with her, with hers, you know, from me to her. So that would be her necklace. She also wears a silver chain and a rose that was given to me by my sister, Catherine. She also has a chain underneath her, which is a silver chain, and a silver black onyx heart, which is given to me by my sister, Catherine, so that Brooke would always have a heart.
Aww.
And that's what my sister said. Which my sister Catherine was with me the day I met Brooke. The very moment I met Brooke, my sister was with me. And Catherine also is a very personal and good friend and family member of Brooke also, which is why I want Catherine to have, you know, to be in her life to any capacity she wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
But these necklaces will always remain on her, and that's what they all are and what they all mean. Right down to the earrings that were given to me by my sister in Fort Lauderdale just recently. Ladybugs. Oh man, I could just go on and on and on, and like I say, some of this have to be in video.
Sure.
Like, just little things like all and any electronics, Albie, DVDs, I would say, would go all to Albie. Possibly some to several, maybe distributed accordingly. Like if there's something my sister would love and just has to have that Albie might have a double of, because we have a lot of doubles of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Would there go to my sister's, you know, accordingly, you know, because Catherine would love an X-Files, but my other sister wouldn't probably,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Albie would already have them. So
that makes
sense. All my electronics and entertainment, all that given to Albie, distributed accordingly, whatever he doesn't want to keep, including books, magazines, DVDs, VCRs, Blu-rays, televisions.
Laserdiscs.
Laserdiscs, records, albums, CDs, everything and anything like that. Teddy bears will be distributed accordingly. Through video, I have to point out each one at a time. Of course, Rory will also come to the Burges. And Rory's best friend and lady, which would be Chelsea, which will be explained on video.
Yeah, because I don't know which one Chelsea is.
Right. You know, and there's so many bears, and they have to be distributed accordingly. I have a lot of handmade furniture from my father. That would all go back, and it would have to go all back to my sister, Catherine.
Yeah, because she would appreciate it.
Would have to be Catherine.
Yeah.
Minor details to work out, but...
That's a good overall.
Minor details. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I have some stuff that was my dad's that have to be specified my dad's, you know. My Crocodile Hunter stuff, though it is through entertainment, which everything would be Albie's. I do believe my brother-in-law, Mike Habel, really, really liked Steve Irwin a lot. Maybe not as much as I have, but a lot. And I just want to give another shout-out for Steve Irwin. Greatest man ever lived. Conservationist, had a heart as big as the world, you know. To me, that's a hero. Cared more about every animal in the world than he did of his own life.
What I like to ask everybody is, tell me a story about my dad.
Your dad.
I know he really loved you and considered you like a second son.
Yeah. Your dad was a great man. I always remember little things like going to Walmart and, you know, the last thing you expect is someone driving up behind you and honking, and there he was, breaking his speed limit in his little chair, zooming up and down the aisles all day long at Walmart. Everyone in his store knew him. He knew everyone, and he'd just have a blast riding his cart up and down the aisles, going around the store. One minute he was there, one minute he's gone. There he was, and there he wasn't. And that was kind of funny, you know. I'm sure I'd enjoy that too, you know. Little things like he'd always wait till... one day where me and Albie would have plans to go somewhere and do something, and he would need pineapples. Of anything, it wasn't what he needed, it's just that he would like to have Albie come over, he would like to see Albie. He loved Albie very much, and it was the highlight of his day if Albie could stop by. And he would just come up with funny things just to, you know, persuade Albie to come over, and we'd always, you know, say, okay, get out of work, go over there, visit him for a little bit, take him to Walmart or back, or pick him up something, go see him. And every time we talked to him, he'd always have a great story of a place he's been or something he's done. Maybe it was when he managed apartments in New Jersey, or maybe a story when he was overseas. Or he always had stories, and they were always good. You know, when you've lived a big life and as long life as he has, you got to have a lot of stories. Other things like he would always get a kick out of when Albie used to make labels to label different movies and stuff, and he would make labels for his videotapes, and I'm thinking, wow, he must really like making videotapes. And I didn't believe how much he liked the videotapes until I saw his office of 100,000 million videotapes in one room, which is still there to this day. And that's a lot of videotapes. Picture that remembers me of him the most is picture of him in his Korean outfit, and it was a black and white picture. Looks like a different person from a different world, because he was our age, you know, and instead of going to concerts and working at Perkins and going to theme parks, this guy was in another country and another world and, you know, in a war and stuff, but he was our age and he looked our age, and I don't know, I always... That picture always catches my eye every time I see him there, or see it there at his house. He was a really good guy. And he was real nice. He did. He treated me like a son. He was above and beyond, wonderful man, a good example, and he was a good person, you know. I think of him often because I remember him well. Yeah.
That's good. Thank you. Let's talk about your dad.
My dad. God.
I know.
I thought we were almost done.
He caused you a lot of strife in your life, I know, but he was still a good man, I think.
Yeah, I love my dad very much. He was always Mr. Tough Guy. I was in the Army and played football and strong heart, strong mind, strong will, big tough guy, and, you know, and I always felt like, I don't know, he never made me feel like a little guy. I just always felt like a little guy compared to him because he seemed like such a big man. And he was, you know, he was a big man. And he was strong and tough, and he acted tough and rough. And for the most part, we got along. Never really had any problems. I was always a loner, kept to myself, you know, a little bit strange, you know. And, you know, he came from another time and era, so a lot of things I did were hard for him to understand, especially when it came to the heavy metal era and the hard rock and, the, you know, there was a lot of things he didn't understand that I did, and a lot of things I didn't understand like he did when he was younger. Not in a bad way, just in a, you know, times change. You know, we did have a lot of fun together. We were on a bowling league once. I remember because it was the first time I got my ear pierced. And I actually wore a Band-Aid over it, and it fell off, and he realized I was wearing an earring. He said, no wonder we lost tonight. You bowled crooked because you're lopsided. You're wearing an earring. And God, I must have been 13 years old. All kinds of things. Like, I remember we used to go camping a lot when we were young, and he always had a CB, and his name, his handle was Camper John, and he used to always talk to the truck drivers and other campers, and I used to get a kick out of that. We used to go fishing all the time. We used worms. He had to bait the hook because I couldn't touch worms. Still can't touch worms. So sometimes we'd get a can of corn and put corn kernels on the hook. And that would work just as well as catching fish on any other bait. Problem was I used to eat half the can of corn. little things like we would walk behind shopping malls, the edge of the woods, catch dollar bills that had blown into the woods. And I remember that taught me as a young age how to look to the ground and find money. And, you know, I've done stuff like that. I know I was in a Boy Scout one time, and my dad was a scout master, and we used to have kids come over, and he did that for one season or whatever, a season or an episode or a level of Boy Scouts you go through. It was about a year. I remember it ended because we had some kind of race car derby. We had built this little wooden race car, and you had to set it down a track, and whoever's car ran the fastest, you know, and if you put weights in your car and cheated, you got disqualified. And, you know, my dad, he rigged a car up and said no one will find out, and it got stuck on the track, and not only did I lose, but I had to get disqualified. And I remember that. It was kind of disappointing as a kid. Not in a bad way, but, you know, I just remember it. My dad himself, who probably originated the story of me working at zoos, himself did work at a zoo in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, which my mom just recently visited this year. She went to Cape Cod to revisit places where she met my father. He proposed to her. They got married. You know, they lived... She relived some of those spots, which was in Cape Cod. My dad was a master carpenter, excellent woodworker, could build anything out of wood. He was also a master plumber, was a plumber for 25 years. He was also a travel agent, which got us discount trips for the 2 years he worked there. 1 year was Tennessee, one was Washington, D.C. He was also a phlebotomist. He was in the Army, was in the service. What else did he do for a living? Oh, he also was peanuts, popcorn for the Boston Red Sox at the Boston Red Sox City of Palms or whatever it's called, downtown Fort Myers, whatever that place. The training camp in Fort Myers there. He worked there with the Boston Red Sox for a while, which for him I'm sure was awesome because he, you know, grew up in Boston. My dad's favorite thing in the whole world was fly fishing. It's all he ever talked about. It's all he ever wanted to do. When he was a kid, he worked so hard and saved up for this fly fishing pole and went fly fishing. And that was like his biggest thing was fly fishing. Of course, you know, we're talking about a man in a time before electricity. No. Electricity was invented, but just not well widely used, especially for entertainment purposes. Apparently, my dad was also a phenomenal dancer. Him and my mother used to go to dancing contests, ballroom dancing, whatever kind of dancing was hip and popular back then. And he had trophies and plaques, actual trophies of being a well-known dancer throughout high school, which is strange because I don't dance. He also played instruments. He could play the guitar good. He played drums in a band when he was in high school, where he saw the Rolling Stones in 1964 at his high school football stadium in Massachusetts. My dad was very good at talking to people. He was a hard worker. He was a good father. We've never had to suffer or go without, although there was a time we lived many, if not several years in a row in the projects, but, you know, we were poor. You know, I know my dad had to leave off in the service for a while. He was hurt in the service. He was out for a while. And I remember shortly after that, he fell through a flight of stairs and a sink fell on his back. And he was in the hospital for a long time after that with a broken back, I can remember. So he was away from home in the service or working injuries in the hospital. And that was a time, you know, things were rough, but we survived. We had everything we needed, clothes, food. Mother took very well good care of us. My mother's like me, kind of shy, you know, sensitive, kind of shell, quiet, laid back, you know, kind of non-confronting, little not so socialish, you know. Back when we were younger, yes, but old as an adult, not so much. My dad was also a bartender.
Tell me about yours and his relationship.
I think my father had higher hopes for me than I did. You know, I think that he expected me to kind of follow him a little bit, maybe join the army, become a plumber, you know, get married, get a wife, get a kid. And I never did anything he actually did. Big part of my life, I still have yet to grow up. I'm still young inside, and I live my life as if I'm young outside, you know. And I feel that that might have held us back from a tighter relationship or a better relationship. There was so much he looked forward for me to do and accomplish that I never did, that I felt like, big part of me, like I felt like I disappointed him. He never really told me this, but you could feel it, you know. I don't know, it was like I never fit in. Not that he didn't love me or take care of me or respected me. He always let me do and be whoever I wanted to be. I just don't think it's what he would have had me be. So I feel like that, and that alone, and I may be wrong, that's just my feelings, but I feel like that held me back from a better relationship with my father, although what we had wasn't bad. It was good, you know. We loved each other, we respected each other, we got along well. It just, I'd say more than anything, I felt like I couldn't be myself around him because he expected me to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not in a bad way, but just, you know. But he was always happy if I was happy, so that's all that mattered, I guess.
He was always so nice to me.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And he has a tattoo of a snake's eye on his left hand, which was made in the 60s, so it don't look like an eye. It looks more like an ink spot.
That's a bad thing about tattoos. They do that.
And I have a cross on my left hand. Otherwise, I would have put a snake's eye on my left hand.
So we're both in that club where we lost our dads.
Yes.
Not a good club to be in.
No, not a good club to be in. But we still have loving mothers.
Yes, both of us.
Yep.
I think both of us, after we lost our fathers, became closer with our mothers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something good.
I became a lot closer with my mother after my father. Not because my father passed away. I think I had it in me all the time. I just didn't bring it out until, you know, because I always figured I had more time with my dad. Like, yeah, he's going to be sick. Oh, it's going to go on and on for years and years. He's going to get better. He's going to, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Next thing you turn around, gone.
Yep.
That's it, you know? And then it's too late. Never got to ask questions I wanted. Never got to, you know. I did leave Perkins for 6 months while my dad moved to Tennessee to spend time with my dad in Tennessee. He was engulfed in home improvement and projects around the house, which what I was not so good with handyman stuff. So he spent a lot of time with my brother-in-law, Dennis, and I spent most of my time with my sister, Catherine. And that didn't bring us any closer together, but at least the thought was there and the effort was there, you know. And I did get to see my dad before he passed, which was good because it was my once and last opportunity. So if I missed it, it would have been too late forever. So I'm grateful I did that. Yeah. But, you know, I miss him. I still wait for him to come home, but I know he's not, you know. And, you know.
Yeah, for me, it was the longest time. I just was, like, when I went to visit my mom, I was just like, oh, that's weird, my dad's not here. Kind of like he was at the store or something, yeah. And he'd be home any minute.
I got to get my dad a Father's Day card, first Father's Day, you know?
Yeah.
Or, oh, right. I'm going to call dad and tell him this, and like, oh, I can't.
Yeah.
And then it's when you come up to the part, I can't, no matter how much I want to, I can't. It kind of bothers you, you know, like, God.
Are you like me that you just, myself, sometimes when I have to tell him something, I just say, talk to him out loud,
mm-hmm.
almost like talking into the universe, like in hopes that,
yeah,
you know, he would hear me or something.
I do believe my dad's in an old 1800 western town and one of many versions of heavens, whether that's here or there, to or fro, you know, I do believe he's in a good place, whatever that place may be, or wherever it may be, you know, I believe he's better now than he was the last time I saw him. Which wasn't good.
Hmm. But our fathers taught us everything we needed to know to be our own men.
That's right.
Which we are. And I think we make them proud every day.
My dad should have given me more credit, and so hasn't, and so shouldn't had the Bureau. Credit Bureau.
Credit Bureau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an inside joke.
Yeah. But a good guy. I remember bumping into him at Kiwanis and stuff at the thrift store here
or
and there.
Or Walmart or something odd.
And we were always
like
together and always wearing the same outfit.
Yeah.
So he kept looking at us a little funny.
I even grew a mustache in honor of my father.
Yeah, it was horrible.
There's nothing worse than having an itchy, scratchy, dead caterpillar on your lip. You know, if I was in the 70s, it would have been all right, but me, you know.
So how do you think this podcast has gone so far, Johnny Jr.?
Next time we do it, I'm going to have to stay longer. You know, sorry I only had a few minutes just to tell you a couple things, but there's so much more to tell you.
There really is. That's what's
and,
the shame
and it's
is.
Ridiculous. I've just gave you some of the best parts or some of the briefs of some of the stories, not nearly half of all the stories or by far large. I mean, I have 100 stories of every story. Just working at Hooters for 5 years, I got 100 stories. Working at Universal Studios for 3 years. I got 300 stories. They're just on and on and on going.
So we definitely might have a sequel to this podcast.
I've so been there. I've so done that, you know.
You want to call this Johnny G. Weir Jr. History Part 1?
The early years, Part 1.
The early years. All right. Didn't work out so good for Michael Jackson. History Part 1?
No, not so
not
much.
Not a Part 2, yeah.
For Michael Jackson.
But
I'm hoping to get in one more podcast before the final edit.
I didn't think I'd ever hear that.
Just to squeeze in a few more things, you know, because there's just so much more to tell. And it'll take them 2 months to edit. So you'll probably be hearing this. And you know what? All right. It is the end of July,
okay.
2012.
Yes. July 26th.
My birthday is September 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we get this out by my birthday?
So this will be the June, July, August, September edition?
Yes.
Wow.
4 months.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's probably, without no exaggeration, going to take you to September
to
get this all put together. But the goal is to have this up by my birthday.
That sounds good.
And I would imagine I will have several more things to say before this.
All right. Now, I've warned you about this.
Much.
And as somebody, you didn't spoil yourself too much. But part of the show, I ask the big questions.
Ooh.
So we usually close our sessions with the big questions.
Okay, so this is the big question of the night.
Questions.
Okay.
There's, you know, a series of questions I like to ask people.
I could use a drink. I don't have one.
Me too. Well, I do have one.
I need a beer.
Tea, Earl Grey cold. What is the meaning of life?
to live and let live, you know?
What is your favorite smell?
My favorite smell, I would have to say orange blossom.
Mm.
Wow.
That sounds good.
Yep.
Like fresh or?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. From a tree.
Nice.
You know? Yeah.
If you could leave the world one piece of knowledge that you have acquired in your lifetime that you do not want to die with you, what would that be?
Brooke. knowledge. I don't know if I understand the question.
If you learn something in your life that you want everybody else in the world to know that you don't want to die with you. In other words, on your deathbed, you don't want to not be able to express something.
I don't know if it has anything to do with regretting opportunities that I could have had, you know, like, I don't know if it would be having opportunities pass you by, because I know I've had so many opportunities that could have changed my life drastically, but who knows where it could have leaded me for there, whether it had been good or bad. I mean, I'm just grateful for every opportunity I've had to have led me to the point to have, example of my teddy bear, Brooke. If I didn't do everything exactly the way I did it, I would never have this bear. And I have this bear because the hardest thing in life was to be alone, and I can't be alone. As long as I have her, I'm not alone. I would say to never turn down the opportunity to be with somebody who loves you. If you ever have an opportunity to be with somebody that loves you, no matter who it is, you should take that opportunity, you know, because loneliness is hard. And it doesn't have to be in a sexual term or a sexual relationship. I don't have a sexual relationship with the partner I have now, but the love is greater than that, you know. I don't know how to put all that in words. Do you know what I mean?
That was beautiful.
All right.
What is your favorite adult film?
My favorite adult film? Caviar for Blue Eyes. No, <you're kidding.
laughs> Google that one, folks.
Favorite adult film. I could say I remember the first one I ever saw.
All right.
Starring a porn queen, Nina Hartley, and the first film I saw her in, which I do believe was the first adult film I saw her in, was Debbie Does Dishes. I thought I was going to say Dallas, but she actually did Debbie Does Dishes. All day long, I got to get these dishes done before my husband comes home. The mailman rings. The milkman comes. Oh, yeah.
Debbie Does Dishes.
Yeah, Debbie Does Dishes.
Nina Hartley. Women do dishes, it's very sexy.
Oh, incredibly. But this was actually when adult movies actually had storylines. They might have not have been good, but they actually had storylines.
If you were on a deserted desert island by yourself and you had a solar power iPod capable of having only 5 albums on it,
mm-hmm.
only 5 albums you could listen to for the rest of your life, what would those 5 albums be?
Well, I would have to say my first favorite album would be Iron Maiden, Peace of Mind, 1983. My second album, which would be Kiss, Rock and Roll Over. Third album, I would have to say, would be Ozzy Osbourne, Bark at the Moon, 1983. What else did I say? Maybe Van Halen, Diver Down. The first album, but was in cassette, that I had ever purchased, the first record I have ever bought myself, was AC/DC, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. That was my very first record I had ever bought myself. And to this day, I would say it was one of my favorite albums. I loved it, heard it a million times. When I first bought it, I couldn't play it enough. Even my father loved the song in there. It was called Big Balls.
Yeah,
it's a good song.
Okay, love or money?
Love, definitely.
All right.
I love my bear more than I love any money I've ever had, any money I've ever had in my life.
What's your favorite snack food?
Favorite snack food? Potato chips, I'd say. Yeah. Maybe Pringles. I remember as a kid, it was like, wow, Pringles were like the dream snack. And when they came out one summer with exciting, brand new flavor, never before in a chip, sour cream and onion. Oh, my God.
Man, those are so good.
Yep. I remember that. I remember when Pringles only had one flavor. When they came out with sour cream and onion, wow, incredible. Nowadays, Pringle has 111 flavors.
Only looking for a first name here. Best sexual partner you ever had?
I've only been with two, so it's one or the other.
You've been with one.
No. I'm only exaggerating by a little bit. I can still count them on all my fingers. And I have no more than 10. Wow. It would almost be a tie between a redhead Sicilian named Lisa and a German-American girl named Jennifer.
All right. And finally, boxers or briefs?
Neither.
I'm right there with you, brother. I free ball it all the time.
Right.
It's too damn hot in Florida.
Commando.
Commando, yes.
Just do not forget to wear a belt.
Otherwise, your pants will fall down.
Yep. And Albie is an expert on knowing how easily the back of my shirts break.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
You know, sometimes when your pants loosen up, they ride a little low, you know, like of the himbubu assuasion. You know how they wear their pants half down with them, you know, and the boxers all sticking out. Well, you know, if you're like the hip kids, and I like to wear my pants half down too, but, you know, without the boxers on, you know, it's funny. As soon as you reach up to the top shelf to grab some plates, you know, all that sunshine comes out. And the funny thing of it is you go, I think the back of my shirt's broken. And people look at you and go, what? And they look at the back of your shirt. You lift your arm sky high. Your shirt raises above your waist. Your pants are half dropped and the sun is just shining bright. People, before they realize it, know they just got a whole eye full of your ass. It's pretty funny. Yeah, I like that one.
How many times you got away with that?
Oh, I've gotten away with it every time.
It's the simple things in life.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am so honored and grateful that you have spent the last month and a half with me recording this. I hope people now know you almost as much as I do. Because to know you is to love you. So if they've listened to this whole thing, they now love you.
And all you've heard is not half of what you know.
It's the tip of the iceberg.
Right. There's so much more. My life is like an amusement park. I close my eyes and I hear circus music playing in my head. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Johnny.
Yes. I can only hope there's a lovely young lady enjoying this show, holding her teddy bear, wearing an Iron Maiden shirt, and somehow, through this, gets in contact with me, and we could happily spend the rest of our lives together. I will treat you well, and I will treat you fine. If only one day you could be mine.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Well, that wraps up our unbelievably long conversation with John G. Weir Jr. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned a lot about this guy. He's a great guy. He has a really good heart. I learned things about him that I didn't even know, which was pretty cool because I thought I knew everything about this kid. If you're looking to hire somebody and don't mind salmon juice in your shoes or mayonnaise up your nose, and you're in a position to give him a job, you can get in contact with him through his Facebook, Johnny G. Weir Jr., or you can send us an email, and we'll make sure he gets the information. The email here is baronspace@gmail.com, baron like empty space, @gmail.com. Or you could leave us a voicemail by calling into 707-847-6682. That's 707-847-NOVA. What more can I say about Johnny Jr. that hasn't been said in the last 5.5, 6, 17 hours? I'm really glad that I met him. At the time I met him, I really didn't have time for more or extra friends, but he seemed too good to pass up. I'm very glad that he's my friend. My life probably would have been a lot different had it not been for him, and I'll always appreciate that. Remember, your future hasn't been written yet. No one's has. Your future is what you make of it, so make it a good one. We'll be right back.
joining us for this episode of A Conversation with Albie. Go to barrenspace.com to listen to new installments of this and other great podcasts from Barren Space Productions. Support from listeners like you help keep this podcast operating. You can find a link to donate using PayPal on barrenspace.com. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of A Conversation with Albie, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. Special thanks to Steven Order for web maintenance and ZeroPain.com for providing reliable and painless web service. A Conversation with Albie is edited by Albie. A Conversation with Albie is a Barren Space production, copyright 2012, all rights reserved.
This is a bunch of crap. I mean, hi.
You're a young adult, you're out of vocation school, right?
Vocational.
Vocational school. And wait till I edit that, how that's going to sound. So you're a young adult, you're out of vocationary school. You're a young adult, you're out of vocational school.
He ate like a monster, he was a slob. I mean, I hate to talk bad about people, so Albie's not going to put this in the cast.
It'll be an edited version.
Yeah, it'll be an edited version.
Yeah.
But if Jimmy wants to get the bonus features, then, then we'll mail it to him. Big fruit boom. And then, you know, anyway. This part will be edited out, too, because we don't want no problem with... with the majority nowadays, yeah. We don't need no more problems.
No more cause
problems. Before we know it, we're going to be... very... It was just, you know, it was like when Mr. Drummond adopted the kids on Different Strokes.
Yeah, Arnold Jackson.
It was a little out of their element,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So we adopted a little boy out of the elements. And click, click, anyway. Because this guy was... That's another edit.
Yeah, it's fine, though.
I mean, this dude is... All right, so this kitchen manager, he was, this guy was, but the opposite. All right, now let's say this kitchen manager, he was, he was... Man, this guy was...
He was nice. He was a good kid.
He was a good kid. This guy, he was so... He was nice. He was nice and... All right. I just don't know how to express myself saying nicely that this person was... his former self. Like when he... No, all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had this kitchen manager. He was a guy, very nice. So, you know, when you mix that with it's... So, anyway, that's going to be a lot of editing.
That's going to be a lot of editing. But I can make it work. I can make it work.
It was like, you know, like, and you know what I mean, man.
Well, there's a game we need to play right now. Ready? I say the restaurant. And then you say the restaurant. And then I say the restaurant, and then you say the restaurant. Okay?
Wait a minute. A game?
No, well, you got to keep your headphones on.
All right.
Ready? Oh, yep. A drinking game?
A drinking game.
Ready? The restaurant.
Okay.
You're not winning.
All right. How's it go?
I say the restaurant, then after a beat, you say the restaurant.
Okay.
The restaurant.
The restaurant.
The restaurant.
The restaurant.
The restaurant.
The restaurant.
At the restaurant.
At the restaurant.
The restaurant.
The restaurant.
This restaurant.
This restaurant.
The restaurant.
The restaurant.
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 The restaurant where we met.
The restaurant where we met.
The restaurant.
The restaurant.
At the restaurant.
At the restaurant.
Okay, we're good.
That was ridiculous. What the hell was that?
You'll find out when I edit it all together.
Oh.
Because, like, oh, snorting drugs, shooting up in the office, and flies and bugs and bleach in the food. Yeah. That's, yeah. All right.
Oh, still on microphone.
It's all right. Edit it.
Oh, yeah, I had their posters on the wall.
Sorry.
Seen lots of bands. Of course, I've said that 10 times already. So
but I'll keep editing. The best one in there, so that's all right.
Yeah. John Larson.
Yes, yes.
Another of the five horsemen working at Perkins, which included Albert, myself, Frank, Larson, and Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed, yeah.
The original. I think it's four horsemen.
I believe so.
I don't know what, so there's going to be a lot of edit in there.
Sure.
Okay. So there we were, the four horsemen. Me. I mean, Albert, Frank, Larson, and myself.
Yes.
We were the four horsemen. This is a picture of me in front of Caesar's, or the fountains, and shows me a picture.
All right, I think that's a good place for a bake break.
A bake?
A break.
Baked potato.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Is that loud enough?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. I keep trying to talk like that guy on Monty Python. How he ends, you know how I'm ending my subject?
Yeah.
On a certain note. I don't know.
It's anyway, all right.
I'm just... my radio voice.
Yeah, I like it.
My interview voice.
You're doing good.
So, thing was Kiss was coming to town. Said that already. And, unsettled section. Undeveloped section. Uneducated section. This is the part of town where people lived that...
Oh, you can't say that.
No, I can't say that.
No.
All right. Everybody had. No.
No. Well, no, I don't think so either.
Okay, this is a part of town where.
No. The unsafe part of town.
No, let's just say this was the undeveloped side of town. No.
That don't even make sense.
This was the.
I don't think he's.
No.
Either, no.
This is the town. This is the side of town.
No.
No. This was the side of town. I can never think of the right thing to say.
Unsafe part of town. All right, and we are recording. This is part 17 of A Conversation with Albie with John G. Weir Jr.
Part 17.
Please state your full name.
Hey, we're doing it?
Yeah.
No testing. 1, 2, 3. Well, are we ready?
This is a pre thing.
Okay. John Gregory Weir Jr.
All right. And we are starting in 5.
5, 4.
Well, let's start again. Ready?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cat's making noise with a bag. And when I make noise, a blue line goes up and down.
Yeah. That is you. That's what I am.
Yeah, it's funny.
Boop. Boop, boop. But he loves chocolate.
His favorite thing in the world is chocolate. Just not hot. Cold. Donut. Square. Any version, shape, or form.
So
anyway,
that was a good time.
Edit that one out.
SeaWorld, yeah.
Near, far, wherever you are.
Your heart will go on, dude.
My heart will go on. I was just kind of traveling around in my times. Somebody call my mama. And within that time...
And then you just didn't give it to her, huh?
And I quote...
Yeah, it's about an hour. We got about 5 more minutes in this segment.
And then you got to call your mom, too.
Right.
Because your phone just said, somebody call my mama.
Hurricane Charlie.
How come mine's much smaller than yours? But this is an iPad, right?
We can stop there.
Same
it's
thing.
Been an hour. Can you stop it and save it there?
We'll do Charlie, because we'll just do one more thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to do it? Okay.
And then we'll get Charlie over with.
Okay.
I had people of the persuasion living upstairs. And, you know, because I lived in somewhat of an apartment, so it was, you know, but this, that, and dog and blunts and cigarettes, and it was 24/7. And you know, they don't care. You know, they're with all that stuff.
None of that's gonna make it.
I know.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, it was. Yeah. Because ghosts and aliens the same thing. Well, yeah. Well, God's an alien, so when you don't, it's like, you know, instead of going to heaven, you go to a spaceship. Now, what if that spaceship goes into a planet bazillion, 80 million light years away? It's kind of hard to come and visit, you know? Can you imagine all the dead people? There's billions and billions and billions of dead people. Are they going to fit one cloud above us?
I think they're supposed to fit in one cloud, yes. Really think it through.
No, they're on many separate spaceships. Destined for many different planets.
But if a god did exist, since he wasn't born on Earth, mm-hmm. or live on Earth, by definition, he would be extraterrestrial.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, so...
I've always, even through high school as a child, I always said God was extraterrestrial.
Well, he would have to be, because terrestrial would mean he lived on Earth.
Yeah, he's definitely not from this planet. You know how some people say he created this planet? Maybe he did, like the Genesis Project.
Right, from Star Trek.
But it has nothing to do with... It has stuff. It has stuff to do with intergalactic technology.
Aliens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if this was, and if what, if my beliefs are true,
uh-huh.
then that means you can live your life on Star Trek because it's the same thing.
Yeah. Why not?
Intergalactic travel and
yeah.
alien life forms creating planets and.
I would live my life on Star Trek.
Somebody on some planet's going, "Oh, wow, God!" When really it was just somebody terraformed and
Picard.
You know, in theory.
In theory.
Yeah.
Great episode.
And there could be 1,000 versions of that theory.
Yes.
And I think one of them's the Bible.
You far out, man.
Yeah, way far out, man.
You don't belong here.
Bye, Heather.
All right, now, we are going to start. Are you ready, Johnny? We're going to do it this time.
I hate the ending. Let's say this is the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end. Okay, right. Ready? And we're starting in 5. You have to say it out loud. Okay, ready?
Out loud.
Starting in
loud.
5.
5.
5. Four, let's go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You gotta turn that off.
Well, that's coming from my headphones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dumb. Sorry.
How many hours? A grand total. 15? 12?
About 10.
I thought it was 9 last time.
So 11?
And we did what?
Guessing.
3 hours tonight?
Yep.
I want to say about 12, 13 hours.
I'm sure. So it's going to be an 8-hour podcast.
And by the time we're finished, I'm hoping an even 15. 18.
Well, this was H. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. So at least 8 hours straight.
We have to do I and J because I, J.
Oh, you are J. And L and O P.
Oh, and Q, R, S, T.
Q, R, S, T. W, X, Y, and Z.
Well, we were productive anyway, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Finally, what's your favorite cartoon?
My favorite cartoon, Scooby Dooby Doo Doo. Scooby Dooby. Scooby Doo.
Scooby Doo.
Love Scooby Doo. Scooby and Shaggy.
Zoinks.
Yep. He's a boy with his dog, and I'm a boy with my bear.
Aw.
Yep. And we're always on a mystery. Life.